Good evening. If you'd like to be taking out your Bibles and turning back to that passage that Carter was at that he read to us in the 16th Psalm, we'll begin our lesson there. There's a phrase in verse 8 that's kind of going to be the theme of what we're going to look at and what we're going to study just for a little bit this evening and try and make some applications in our lives. It's that the phrase, "I have set the Lord always before me," in verse 8. When we're going to look at some things, what does that mean, to set the Lord before us? "I've set the Lord always before me." How can we do what David said? And tonight I just want to look at a few things that the Bible tells us how we can be able to draw closer to God and draw closer to Him and to set Him always before us. And going along with some of these points, there's also a song in our hymnal. It's number 210, "Alone at Eve," that Cannon's going to lead us in at the close of services, that expresses many of these same points, these four points that we're going to look at. That song does a good job of reiterating those same points, and we're going to sing it at the end as well. But what I want to talk about, and what I want to first do, is I want us to have a reminder of what we receive in the presence of God. When God is near us, what do we receive? And we can see that in verse 11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." There's fullness of joy and true happiness when we are in the presence of God. And so how do we, as verse 8 says, how do we obtain that? Well, that's what verse 8 is. "I've set the Lord always before me." So that's what we're going for, fullness of joy and true happiness. How do we do that? Well, verse 8 is to set the Lord before us. How do we do that? We're just going to look at four small things this evening and try and make those applications to our lives, and the lesson will be yours. But, you know, we all find ourselves not as close to God at various points in our life, at some points of life, as we would like. And at times we find ourselves spiritually weak. We may be filled with depression or anxiety, or just feel overburdened with the cares that this world has upon us. When we recognize that in our lives, you know, what are we doing to overcome those things? What are we doing in order to become close to God again when God has drifted away, when we've let the world and the cares of this world come upon us and we have anxiety and we're not sure what to do? What do we do? We need to set the Lord before us, and that's what verse 8 says. We're going to look at what that means. First off, that means the first thing that we can do is set the Lord before you through God's creation. And this is a small minor point of the four, but it's still something we should consider. Nature can help you draw closer to God. You know, when we take time to contemplate God's creation, we understand more of His power and of His person, of His glory and His knowledge, of His eternal power and His deity. Tyler, in his prayer, he spoke about the creation of the Lord, the power that He has, just the omnipotence and the control that God has over this world. We need to be aware of that. If you would turn over a couple of chapters to the 19th Psalm, verse 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." When we look at the nature, when we look at the creation that God has made, we can see His glory and we can see His knowledge. And then also turn over to Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, speaking of God's creation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The creation that God made for us, His eternal power and His deity is seen through those things. And we all understand that. When we understand about the power of God, it brings us closer to Him, and we can see that in other things in our life. When we increase our understanding with one another as friends, that friendship becomes closer. When you're husband and wife, when you build up an understanding of that bond that you have, your relationship becomes stronger. This helps us to build up that bond that we have with God when we understand that He's created everything. His power and His deity is in this creation, and He is in control of it all. And we can see some examples in the Bible where people kind of went out into nature to get away, to set aside the cares of the world and to focus on praying to God in these specific instances. If you would turn over to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, is speaking of Isaac. And it says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming." Isaac there went away into a field to get away and to meditate and to basically pray to God. And also in Matthew chapter 14, we see an example of Jesus here doing the same. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there." You know, it may be easier to draw closer to God in the midst of God's creation and away from man's creation. The hustle and bustle of this life, the work, the cares of this world, the technology, the TV, the entertainment, all the things that can overwhelm us, that can distract us, that can become cares of the world. If we can get away from that and look to God's creation and understand his power and that he is in control of all things, it causes us to focus on God. Those other things can cause us to lose our focus on God. And this by getting away, and I'm not saying you have to go camping, you have to go out into a mountain or whatever, but by thinking upon God's creation, maybe, you know, this has happened to me when I've been out camping or been out somewhere out at night and you can just see all the stars, you can see all of God's creation, it does bring to mind his power, his omnipotence, his creation of the world, and it helps you understand that God is in control of everything. And you find yourself that the cares and the worries of this life kind of get put away, that they kind of get put to the back burner. And that's actually what that sentiment is expressed in verse 1 of the song Walking Alone or Alone at Eve. That verse goes, "Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love." We can see God's power and his might when we step back and observe and see his creation. That's just one thing. And God's creation alone can only tell you so much about him. It can tell you about his power. It can tell you about his divinity, his glory, and his knowledge. But another thing that we can set before us is God's revelation. Through God's revelation, through the creation and through the nature, we can learn of those things. But what we can't learn of is of God's will for us and his purpose for us. But where we can get that is through God's revelation, his divinely inspired word to us. It is only through his divine revelation that God has made his will fully known. He has revealed many things through his Spirit, who in turn revealed them through the apostles. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. We'll go over there shortly. And then also we can see in Ephesians chapter 3 that such things were written for our benefit and our understanding. You know, secondly, we need to set the Lord before us through God's revelation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that inspired word of God. That can help us to alleviate some of the cares and anxieties of this world when we study and meditate on God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that have been freely given to us by God." I couple that passage with the passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and that says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." When we seem to have let God drift away from us, when we seem to have been choked by the cares of this world, when we're anxious and stressed about things, we need to go to God's revelation, and we need to read it and study it, and we need to make application to it. A good way to reduce anxiety and draw closer to God is to set God's word before us and read and to meditate on it. He has revealed how he wants us to live and conduct ourselves in this life. And we can read of his promises and assurances that he has for us if we obey it. That's the second thing to do, is to set the Lord before us through God's revelation. And we can see examples of that in the Bible as well. David and Jesus are good examples we can go to people who, in time of distress, in time of worry, they went to God's word and used it to help them. David used it in many ways. Turn over to the 119th Psalm. We'll look at several passages right there in the 119th Psalm, beginning in verse 92. David always would go back to God's word in times of trouble and distress. Verses 92 and 93, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." David understood what God's word was for him in his life. It was a guide for him, and it saved him in his life. And also, skip down to verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word guided David in his steps. And also, over to verse 147 and 148. "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." Seeing David, it didn't matter the time of day. He was awake at night, and he was meditating on God's word. And that should be our focus. When we find ourselves overcome, anxious, we need to go back and follow David's example, meditate on God's word. It doesn't matter the time of day. We should always be relying on God's word to draw us closer to him. And Jesus even used this. He used it to avoid temptation and sin. And that should be our example as well. When temptation and sin arises, we should use the word of God. We should set God's revelation before us. Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus is tempted by the devil, he used scripture in verse 4, in verse 7, and verse 10. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then in verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And skipping down to verse 10, Jesus said to him again, after he tempted him a third time, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only you shall serve." Both David and Jesus are good examples of when trials come about, when you're feeling overwhelmed, go to God's word, go to his revelation, study it, meditate on it. Ask people for help. If you're reading something and you're not quite sure what you're reading or what to make of it, ask others around you. We're all trying to get to the same goal. We're all trying to help each other, and that's going to be another point here towards the end. But secondly, we should go to God's revelation. Set God's revelation before us. And thirdly, a third thing that we should set the Lord before us is through prayer. How we can set the Lord before us is through his creation, through nature. It's through meditating and reading his word, through his divine revelation, and also through prayer. You know, we don't need to stop listening to God through his word, but we don't need to just stop there, but we need to draw closer to God. We need to set the Lord before us through our prayers. A close relationship, just with anything, with your husband and wife, friends, friendship, or whatever, is a two-way street. God has revealed himself to us through his creation and through his revelation. He's made known himself to us. We must reveal ourselves to him, which we do through prayer, through our admonitions to God. And this means that we express every concern to receive appropriate blessings, and that means we draw... It's the means, prayer is the means by which we draw boldly to God to obtain mercy and grace. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 and 7. We're always to express our concerns and our needs to God, and also our thanksgivings. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not only are we supposed to express our concerns and everything to God, our requests with thanksgiving, but it helps us draw closer to God. That's what Hebrews says. That's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, let us constantly go to God in prayer and make our requests known to Him. Cast your cares, your burdens, your worries, your anxieties on Him through prayer. And as Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, let us do it boldly that we may draw closer to God. And we can see examples of this in our Bible, of men who went to God in prayer. You know, those same two people that we looked at as far as going to God's Word and His revelation, they also went to God in prayer, and they're examples to us for that as well. David found that confessing sins to God brought forgiveness, and Jesus found prayer to be a source of strength in times of trial. If you would turn over to the 32nd Psalm, we'll read there what David says. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 6. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. When we have sin that's in our lives, just as David did, it will eat at us if we don't go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of those sins. That will release a lot of anxieties and cares and doubts from you. When there's sin in your life and you know that you need to repent of it, confess that before God, do as David did. Go to God in prayer for it. And then also in Matthew chapter 26, see, when did Jesus take the time to pray to God? In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 44. This is of his prayer in the garden. This is when Jesus was about to stand trial and about to be led away to be crucified. And you can imagine that night before, the stress and the anxiety that Jesus might have had, knowing that all of that was about to come about. And what did he do? He cast those cares and anxieties on God. He went to God in prayer. Beginning in verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You know, just as Jesus in his time of trial, when he had the weight of about to be crucified and about to be put to death, he still took time to cast all of that upon the Lord and to pray to the Lord. And that should be an example to us. Set the Lord before you through prayer. Go to him in prayer. Go to him. We can see that through his nature. We can see that through his divine revelation. We can draw closer to him through prayer as well. And that's what the second verse in Alone at Eve expresses as well. says, closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face, trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. That same sentiment of going to God in prayer, pleading to him, is expressed in that song. But also, and lastly, I want to look at setting the Lord before you through your fellowship with your brethren here, and your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a fourth way to relieve some anxiety, to draw closer to God, is to set the Lord before you through your fellowship. Strength comes from assembling together. We can see that in Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes there in Ecclesiastes about the value of a friend, about the value of strength in numbers. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? You know, just as there's strength in numbers, there is a very real danger of falling away if you're alone, if you're not coming to worship assemblies. And that's why the writer in Hebrews exhorts us tells us to exhort one another daily. We can see that in Hebrews chapter 3. And then also we can see in Hebrews chapter 10 that we're to admonish one another when we assemble together. If you would turn over to the book of Hebrews, we'll read both of those passages. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the only way you can exhort one another is if you're around one another, is if you see one another. We should constantly be checking in on folks. You know, when they're sick, when people are sick, you know, that's when they're down. And if they've missed a few assemblies because of their sickness and haven't been able to worship God, they may get down again. We as other brothers and sisters should check on that person, see if there's something we can do for them, exhort them, letting them know that we're thinking of them and hoping that they can get better and be back to worship with us. And also Hebrews chapter 10 echoes that same sentiment. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you find yourself depressed or anxious and just overwhelmed by the cares of this life, are you assembling with the saints as you should? Are you coming together when they're meeting to be built up, to be exhorted, to be admonished? Are you coming together for good works for you, for other people? That's a good thing to set in front of us and do. That will help us draw closer to God. You know, there's that analogy of like coals in a fire keeping each other hot that are together. Assembling together is designed to keep that spark alive in our relationship with God and each other. When the coals separate out and when you spread them apart from each other, they all burn out and they all die and they don't keep the fire going. We need to think of that analogy. That's why we come together and assemble and worship with the brothers and sisters, is so that we're built up, we're exhorted, we're admonished, and to worship God. It helps us draw nearer to God when we do that. And again, we can see examples of that in our Bible. The early church found strength by assembling. If you turn over back to Acts, and we'll look at just a couple of examples. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. This is Peter and John. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. What did that say? They went to their own companions. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through your name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They came together with their companions. That's one of the things. They also did another thing that we've just looked at. They came together and they prayed. That's what verse 31 says, that they prayed together to the Lord. You know, when we have that feeling of anxiousness or stress or being overwhelmed with the cares of this life, God has given us an avenue to help us through these times. It's through his word that we just saw, through prayer, and through assembling ourselves with brothers and sisters, striving to live this life just as we are. They're facing the same struggles and the same cares of the world that you and I are, and God has told us to assemble with them and to exhort one another and build up one another. That's something we should constantly be doing. We all share a common bond and a common goal as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all striving to get to heaven. We can lift up and admonish and exhort one another when we come together for worship services. If we want to set the Lord before us, let us set the Lord before us in our fellowship with our brethren. You know, the early church, it found strength by assembling. The assemblies here can be a foretaste of God's presence, of that time in heaven, hopefully in Him. When we come here and we draw near through song and through prayer and in His Word. You know, when we draw near to God together through those three things, we enjoy that fellowship of God with His servants even right now. And that's what Revelation chapter 7 suggests. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. It says, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and the palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their face before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.' Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know,' see, he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their white robe, their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" You know, when we draw near to God and we worship and we pray, it's a foretaste of things to come in heaven. And that's something we should always be setting before us, is that fellowship with the brethren. And that sentiment is expressed in Alone at Eve, number 210, in the chorus. It says, "Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I will be pure and whole and live with my God above." So, in summary, to wrap things up, that's the chorus of Alone at Eve, and things that can help us to put away the cares, anxieties of this world, help us draw closer to God, help us be in his presence, have that fullness of joy and that true happiness that Psalm 16, verse 11 says. We need to do these things. Contemplate God's power and understand he is in control. We see that in his nature. We see that in his creation. But then also to let us come near, let us draw closer to God by meditating and studying and reading God's revelation. And then going back to God in prayer, spending time in prayer to God, casting our cares and our worries upon him, going to him in prayer for thanksgiving for all the things that he's blessed us with. And then also to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to assemble with the saints and to come and to worship God when the saints assemble. And going back to that last verse, Psalm 16:11, "In your presence is fullness of joy. at your right hand are pleasures evermore. And how do we do that? We do that by setting the Lord always before us. Those are just some things that we can do to help us as we live this life. This has not been a lesson on the plan of salvation, but the first thing to do to make sure that we're in right relationship with God, that we can enjoy these things, is to obey Him and hearing the Word of God, believing in His Word and believing in that Jesus is the Son of God, coming and confessing your sins, repenting of those sins, and then to obey His Word and to be baptized, to be buried in water with Him, and then to arise a new Christian and to live a life as a Christian and to keep doing these things. And maybe you are a Christian, maybe you've fallen away, maybe you've struggled with the cares of this world, maybe anxieties and the stresses of this world have overtaken you, maybe you still have sin in your life and it may be of a public nature and you may need to come forward and confess those sins. Whatever your need is, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Bidding us look to realms above, while the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us list to the call.